Good morning. You're watching Deprogram with Ted Rall and Jamarl Thomas. It is Wednesday, July 15th, 2026. Thank you so much for liking, following, sharing, supporting the show, spreading it out throughout the internet, helping out Robbie with streaming his Putin Bot Gaming on Rumble. You guys have been stepping up, and we're going to keep asking you to do that. It is another scorcher here on the East Coast. Good morning, Jamarl.
Good morning. How you doing, Ted?
I'm good. Good. You're a little fuzzy, but I think that'll probably straighten itself out. So I gotta say, before we get into Iran, Iran not once but twice, the war and this New York Times story about Mahmoud Ahmadinejad.
Yeah.
Always. That used to roll off right off the tongue when he used to be president, and then you sort of get out of practice. Anyway, that was a crazy, crazy story. That's it, breaking in the New York Times. We'll talk about that. And also the murder of Anne Widcombe, a right-wing politician in England at her house at the age of 78. And that's sending shockwaves throughout European politics. Anyway, I got to ask you, about this daylight savings times thing, it is driving me completely insane. So we know that like the annual switch twice a year, fall back, spring forward between daylight savings time and standard time, it costs lives, it causes heart attacks, it causes diseases, people have more accidents. So we know that's not good for us, not to mention it's just like one of those annoying things to have to remember twice a year for no good reason anymore. So I get that Congress wanted to resolve this. So, you know, when this discussion started years ago, I looked into it and all the experts say, and it makes sense because it is standard time for a reason. They said we should go back to standard time, just 365 days a year, right? Just forget daylight savings time. Because, and you know, I remember this actually, I was 11 years old in 1974 when Congress experimented with making daylight savings time year round. And what happened was in the winter, it got darker in the morning and a little bit lighter in the afternoon, right? So it was pitch black when we were walking to school. Anyway, kids kept getting run over by cars, right? First of all, no one would see them because it was dark. And then also the motorists are so fucking tired. This is kind of like what happens in the Middle East if you go during Ramadan. Ramadan costs the Muslim world billions of dollars in accidents, premature death, loss of productivity, because people are fucking hungry. They have car accidents. They just all sorts of mayhem, industrial accidents ensue. People are just not at their best when they haven't slept, when they haven't eaten and hydrated properly. And in the same way, Americans are not at their best when they don't, you know, people are just not at their best when they haven't slept right. All the experts say, you got to hit that. It's all about sunrise is what sets your circadian rhythms going. Sunset's not important. It's about, and even though like as kids, we all wanted to stay up late and play ball as late as possible in the afternoon. This is all about fucking shopping. Basically, it's industry and it's consumerism that run Congress, right? And basically, they think that if there's another hour of daylight 6 months out of the year or 4 months out of the year or whatever, people will shop more after work. That's literally all it is, even though it will literally kill thousands of Americans a year. And I mean, so people are like, Ted, why the big deal? It's only an hour. And like, haven't you ever traveled? I mean, jet lag. That's like, yeah, I've traveled and jet lag actually hits me pretty hard. But I mean, to me, what I don't get is like, what kind of society has a problem that they completely ignore their scientists about? Like literally there's a clear, correct answer. And Democrats and Republicans alike voted in the House, and this will likely become law, to just ignore everything that science has to say. I mean, you could say it's a trivial issue, but like, what's wrong with us?
I don't have the feeling.
I feel your
you don't have to agree eagerness. With me. It's totally okay.
Yeah, but I don't have that feeling of eagerness with this. From my point of view, it's an hour. And right. People always find reasons to not do something or to do something. And yeah, you can make the argument that scientists are saying so and so, but when have we ever paid attention to scientists on pretty much anything? I mean,
that's my point.
You were just talking the other day about the sperm count being low and that these are environmental factors that are causing the sperm count to be low. Look at the food that we're eating. When RFK came in and was like, look, we need to do something with the food. He was right.
He's right.
Well, like when you're talking about like childhood illness and all of that stuff, those things have spiked and you have to, and the country doesn't really accommodate that because to accommodate that, you may come up with an answer that says what you're eating, what you're drinking, what you're pumping into your air, the very metrics by which you live is killing you sooner and killing your capacity to have kids later. Okay, what if that's the answer? Because I suspect that's the answer. In which case, you're never going to get that answer to be uttered aloud, or even if it was uttered aloud, nobody would pay attention to it. If you had heart issues and your doctor says, look, I can cure your heart disease. I just need you to be a vegetarian and I need you to do, you know, X amount of exercise and everything else. Most people won't do it. And so I guess I'm saying this is on my scale of things that I really want to deal with, like from the standpoint of having a country that's more, that's caring more about it than everything else. There are so many other things that I think if you gave scientists a certain degree of credence and you ran a government based on how do we keep people alive longer? Oh man, I don't know if this will be the bee in my bonnet. I feel you. That's why I'm not pushing against you on it. What you're saying is right.
You can push.
Well, push on it. What you're saying is right. It's just any move that you make, an argument can be made that people die from the move. And I don't mean that across the board. Obviously, there are things that you can do. Drink more water. Okay, people are not necessarily going to die from drinking more water unless some idiot drinks too much. But right. I guess I'm saying any movement in society, the United States is a big country. Anything that it does is going to cause something. And you can find some scientist somewhere that says that this is going to kill people. Oh, my God, we can't do it. I don't doubt what you're saying is correct. I just don't have – this doesn't dig in me. In a way that it seems to dig in you. And so I'm not going to take issue with the fact that it's digging in you. What you're saying is right.
Well, I mean, just before, Robbie, before you chime in, I just want to respond to one thing that JT just said, which is, I mean, I feel like, here's the thing. Like, okay, you're totally right. If my doctor says, Ted, you got to drink less wine, you got to stop, lay off the smash burgers, he'd be right. And like, am I going to do that? Maybe, probably not. It's hard. But I'm addicted to those things, okay? And and so that's why it's hard. But I'd like to think that, like, if I'm an elected official and I'm trying to make public policy, I'm not just thinking about, like, what I enjoy. Like, you know, do I enjoy watching an outdoor baseball game in the light as opposed to, you know, during the, you know, in the fall than as opposed to in the dark? I mean, it should be objectively, like I like drinking wine, but objectively, should we have prohibition? Yes, objectively we should, because alcohol kills so many people, right? And it causes so much violence. It's so bad. I think I'd have to vote for prohibition. Okay. So I'm kind of coming from it like, from a rational point of view, I'm kind of thinking your job as a congressman or as a senator, as a president, is to try to think what's kind of like Spock. What is good for what's the greater good, right? What's the net social benefit? And that's what we should be trying to get to. Here, it's a very clear case. I mean, I literally didn't have an opinion until I looked it up. And then it's like, okay, well, these guys, they've all studied it and what they said does make sense. And they have peer reviewed studies. And I'm like, I believe them. I think it all checks. Right. So why are we not going with, I mean, if we really just want to be emotional, hey, let's push the clock forward 4 hours and we be up until 1 o'clock in the morning. It's going to be, we all live in Scandinavia. I mean, you know, it's like, why not?
I mean, look, that would take us to weird places. I mean, if that's the argument, okay, as you point out, we should stop cigarettes. We should stop smoking. Yeah. We should stop pot. We should stop prostitution. I guess prostitution is already illegal. We should stop porn. We should, there's all sorts of arguments that you can effectively make on this idea of what's in best interest or what's higher good. But I don't think those things are higher goods. I don't think the limiting of freedom, meaning if I want to be self-destructive, why can't I be self-destructive? Why is it up to the state to tell me that I can or can't do something?
So there's no speed limits on highways, no red lights or green lights, right?
True, like, but those things
I want to drive 100, fuck it, why not?
But also the state's paying for it. It has a say.
But it's always a gradient, right? Like it's never a max proposition. It's always a gradient. Where do you fall on the gradient? I mean, even
plus your shit behavior, your shit affects other people. If I get drunk, it's more likely that I'm going to hop into a car, and it's more likely that if I'm drunk and in a car, I'm going to kill someone. So
true.
Who is not me, and it might not have ever had a drink in their life.
True, but at that point, you can point to and say, "Well, alcohol is the issue, so we should stop people from drinking alcohol, and if we stop people from drinking alcohol, there'd be less car accidents." I mean, hell, you can go with the idea of. We want to stop pedophilia, and so we need to monitor all of the messages that are on Twitter and your messenger service Signal and everything else, because we need to ensure that kids are safe. How far do you want to go with it? I mean, that's effectively what they're doing.
It's a valid point of view.
Is it a valid point of view?
But I think that's politics is arguing about these trade-offs, right? That's what it is. And I think in this case, the thing that drives me crazy is it's really clear. There's really kind of no general social benefit to having, to daylight savings time being in the winter too. There's a net negative.
By the way, I'm not fighting you on this. I agree with you.
It's like smoking. Okay, so people enjoy smoking. I mean, aside from weight loss, is there any benefit? I mean, weight loss is a benefit, but it's not. I don't think it's a substantial enough benefit.
Well, it's not a benefit in the context that the cigarette will kill you. Like, oh, I lost a pound, but I'm going to die of heart disease.
I guess theoretically, cigarettes have probably saved some lives, right? Some people have lost weight and not gotten lung cancer, and therefore...
True, but on the whole, 90% of the cases of lung cancer were either 40% of people who smoked or 50% of the people who used to smoke. Meaning 90% of the people who are dropping dead from a particular brand of cancer is coming from people who are smoking. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the conversation is rigged, right? Like, it's kind of like when I'm talking to somebody about religion, and I don't mean to bring up a religious argument, but as I tell them, you were programmed for that. That's not you making a choice. That's you being programmed. The same thing with somebody eating at McDonald's. If you get a kid to eat at McDonald's between 2 to 6, you have them for basically the rest of their life. Now, they can say, I am making a conscious choice. But they're not really making a conscious choice. They're doing what they're programmed to do. Mm-hmm. It takes a hell of a lot to try to overcome the programming and saying, okay, I was programmed. This isn't necessarily me making a choice. This is a forced choice, a choice that models an actual choice, when in reality, I, as a child, was programmed to take on a particular behavior. Smoking is that way. Hot dogs or McDonald's is that way. All sorts of things are that way. I guess I'm saying, I don't like the nanny state telling me what I should and shouldn't do. By the same token, I do have to acknowledge that some of these things are rigged.
Seriously, how bad would it be if McDonald's were told, you've got to step up your food safety standards. You can still have McDonald's, but you just can't, you have to have a lower percentage of rat tails or whatever in the burger.
Yeah. How do I know that that's not causing cancer in 20, 30 years? And obviously, nobody's going to do that research. Nobody really cares about that answer. And yet, to your point, a state should care if they care about well-being of the society itself. I was for RFK when he came in on that stuff and was like,
I am too.
We're going to question everything.
No, I was like, he's been captured.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even if you look at the food, like in Europe, the number of things that they have generally recognized as safe is a much smaller list that can basically fit on one hand. In the United States, you have hundreds of items that fit under that model.
Correct.
Meaning we think it's safe. We think it's okay for human consumption. I don't believe it is, nor do I believe that they care.
And I also don't see Europe suffering. The food tastes better, a lot better. You know, their economy isn't suffering because nobody's eating. I mean, it's like, you know, the agribusiness is a multi-billion dollar business in Europe. You know, there's restaurants are all going gangbusters. I mean, there's like literally no major downside to this except for, I guess, higher prices maybe. But that's about it.
Yeah. I mean, well, they eat less food also.
Well, yeah, it's easier to eat less food when the quality of the food is better. You're more easily sated. I'm sorry, Robbie, I've been yapping.
Oh, no, y'all are good. No, I just to ask y'all, have y'all seen that new story that has come out of Canada? A 27-year-old autistic lady decided to go to the MAIDS program. Physically, she's fine. She has autism. She applied for state-assisted suicide. The state is going to grant her her wish. They may have already have done so. Her father is trying to block it, and he's being sued. Her father, who's tried to save her life, is being sued. So, I mean,
by whom? By her?
By the government. I have to go through and just kind of double check it because basically, I was reading about this morning when I got up, and so I don't have all the details. Basically, long story short, I think the girl's 27 years old. She kind of like your friend Ted who got depression and went to Europe to get off. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
People need to understand that the state does not give a crap about if you live or if you die. Oh. You're cattle.
The reason Canada is doing that is so they don't have to pay for it. It seems that the state has come to the conclusion that it's cheaper if people just die, so they don't have to necessarily do their responsibility of caring for those people. It's outrageous. It's outrageous.
Well, they make it worse. They harvest and sell the organs of the people that they murder. So they are monetizing your death. And I mean, I'm telling y'all right now, this is the model that will become more prevalent in Europe. This is the model that will be more prevalent here. And so the government, they tell you don't have kids because kids are inconvenient. And then to address the worker shortage because people aren't having kids and they're aborting a lot of them, are then importing people using immigration. At the same time, they then use the societal pressures that the domestic population has. Well, we have a solution for you. It's called death. Enjoy.
I mean, the thing
it is self-destructive to the extreme. You can disagree with me on abortion, but I do not understand how someone could possibly disagree with me on the stance that I have that the state should not incentivize you to kill yourself and then monetize your death off of it. That is foolish.
It's very, the truth is we have euthanasia every day in nursing homes and in hospitals. Everybody who's had an elderly relative, I mean, you know, it's like my father-in-law, when he was dying of cancer, a package of stuff, including morphine, arrived at his wife's house. And my brother-in-law, who was an RN, he explained like how all this works. And he goes, well, so the way this works is like when you decide that, you know, you've had enough, you know, a little extra, there's the approved dose of morphine, and then there's a little extra. And everyone kind of knows, like, and I was like, this happens often? He's like, oh, it's normal. It's all the time. It's every day. It's all the time. And
it looks like he sued the state, the Canadian government, trying to save his daughter. And he ended up losing the suit. So I got that part wrong. So the Canadian government, they did not sue him.
Yeah, his suit.
He tried to block because physically she was fine.
That's heartbreaking. And you know, we've been here historically before, as you guys know, right? With the T1 extermination program that was the gateway to the Holocaust under Nazi Germany. They called it the euthanasia program, right? And they had this chilling phrase for it. They said it's in order to end life unworthy of life. And by that, they meant people who are physically and mentally disabled or disadvantaged. And they started with them, and they kind of figured, like, no one, let's see if anyone misses these people, because they're at the margins of society, and it's a lot of effort to care for them. And, you know, maybe people will sort of privately be relieved when their loved one passes, you know, with the benefit of the state. And it did work. And then they were like, oh, well, maybe we can, you know, step this up with Jews and other people. I mean, it's chilling. And we just haven't, you know, that wasn't long ago. I mean, I think there's a place for euthanasia, maybe, but this form, but I don't think this is it.
No, I don't. Look, I don't. If I am not me, I have no issue with being. Look, I don't want to die in a hospital bed, or per se. Like, meaning, I don't want to die broken and sick and out of my mind and all of this other stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with being put out of my misery in those terms. So, just to be clear, meaning, if I have cancer and I'm in pain, let me go. I am not me. It is perfectly fine. Life is short. Everybody is going to go at some point. I accept it as a basis of operation. Meaning, there is a freedom to accepting death is inevitable. And I relish in that freedom. I don't like the vagaries of age. You know, nobody told me getting old sucked. Well, it kind of does.
Oh, right? They told me, and they were not wrong.
Nobody told me. Right? Nobody told me. I feel like John Mayer stopped the strain.
It's so funny because it's like, you know, I have friends who are like, you know, I'm 62. I have friends who are 52. And they're like, you know, I wake up and I'm really achy. And I'm like, oh, don't worry. It just gets better.
Yeah. It only gets worse.
Yeah.
But that's different than, you know, 30 years old. And you're like, oh, my girlfriend left me. I think I want to end things. And the state is there.
Right.
Okay. Here's a chamber. Give us money. We'll take your organs. Well, thank you for that. It's, I don't know if you've ever watched True Blood. I hate to take this from Something to the Whimsical. Bill Compton, at the end of that, he effectively just committed suicide.
Yep.
And Sookie helped him. Mm-hmm. And I'm screaming at the camera, he's sick. He's sick. He just feels bad.
Right.
It was so frustrating looking at that because I kept thinking to myself, he's just sick. Just give him the drug. In fact, I don't even care if he consented. Give it to him anyway. Let him, if he wants to kill himself afterwards.
Well, that's the thing, right? That's the thing. It's so funny, right? It's like sort of like when I was 40 and I started working on IVF with my ex-wife, right? And I was like, man, we spent years trying to avoid getting pregnant. And now we're like spending money in order to get pregnant. It's like, here you spend your entire life trying not to die. You spend thousands of dollars on not dying, right? Maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, health club memberships, drugs, you know, healthcare, blah, 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 blah. And then here you are. I mean, it's not that hard to die. Like, you know, if you're at that point and you're able to move, you could kill yourself. And if you're choosing not to, something must say, tell me that you don't really want to die, right? I mean, something is.
It depends. I don't think death is easy. Yeah. Have you Cloud Atlas, where the guy was in a bathtub and he says, anybody who said death is easy is out of their mind. And he was putting a gun in his mouth. He was basically like, this is not an easy process.
So for my fantasy, and I thought about not saying this, but I don't care right now. It's like my fantasy is like, all right, so I get a terminal disease. I blow myself up at a joint session of Congress. People might be like, I didn't like his podcasts, but I liked the way he went out, you know?
That's a hell of a way to go.
I don't understand why people who are terminally ill don't like engage in acts of terrorism more often. I mean, who just think they would? Like, why not? Like, you're gonna die anyway. Make a political statement.
Oh man, that should be the header of this video. I don't understand why people who are terminally ill don't engage in more terrorism.
Political terrorism. Seriously, I mean, I have a graphic novel that I've been working on for a while, and it's like sort of like it's set in the 80s, and it's like a guy gets AIDS and he decides like I'm gonna kill Reagan. Because, you know, Reagan, like, basically let all the gay people die and laughed about it, right? Didn't care. So it's like, I mean, you know, I'm going to kill Reagan before I die. Why does that not happen? I don't understand.
In fact, terminally ill people should really try to save the U.S. and basically engage in large-scale wars of terrorism. I mean, wouldn't that be good, right? It's like, I got cancer. I'm going to die in 2 months. All right. Who can I take out with me in order to make a political statement? And you just have a group like Fight Club, and all of these guys are like, all right, who's next?
Exactly. This is a Hollywood treatment, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, Kiriakou, yeah. You know, you don't steal this. anyway, since he's gone, Hollywood.
This video is going to get banned. They're going to take this video off there. They're like, oh, they're giving bad subversive ideas to.
No doubt. No doubt. All right. Let's do some comments.
That's why we're on Rumble. Right. There's alternatives. Right. So we got you.
All right. Here we go. Okay, so blind dog leading other blind dogs. Obviously, he goes, what a clown to me. Soda ruins teeth, make those illegal too. Well, I mean, there was an effort here in New York City to get rid of giant sodas, right? Like, you can have, you know, it's kind of like if you're drinking 64 ounces of soda, you know, you have to buy like 4 16-ounce containers of it.
I know, but see, therein lies the point, right? Like, you can make a case and say people should drink less soda. People are not going to accept you being a mommy telling them that they should only have X amount of soda. Whether you're right or wrong in regards to the context of public health is secondary to the point of human agency.
I mean, look, I like me a soda, you know. I mean, I like seltzer, I like Mountain Dew, I like Coke. But it's like, it's true that it is poison water. I mean,
True.
I mean, if it were bad, the world would not be a worse place.
There are a lot of things that the world won't be a worse place if they were banned, if they were regulated.
Yeah.
Agree. Okay. But that's as part of the human experience that we have accepted currently is death is okay in small quantities.
Well, then
over a period of time, it kills you. Yes.
Going along with this conversation, how could you possibly ever address global warming? Or climate change, whatever it is that we're going to call whatever this is now. The answer is you can't. Because as long as nations or people have agency, they're going to do whatever they want. And without a strong authoritarian system to take away that will, all we're doing is pissing up wind.
Or agreement.
Unfortunately, like, that's 100%.
The reality of it is when people's economic needs are met, they start looking at larger issues. Meaning, if I don't have to worry about my car, I don't have to worry about my child, I don't have to worry about my girlfriend. I guess you always have to worry about your girlfriend. She can go nuts. That sounds bad, women. I don't mean that for women. I mean it for both, like, both ways.
Your romantic partner. Yes. Yeah.
Right. All right. When those things are settled, people start looking at other issues. I mean, there's a reason why celebrities are the ones that are looking at the environment. They're like, holy shit, we're going to be here for a while. We're going to have kids. We're going to be rich for a long time. We need to make sure the phone is okay. Yeah. Right? It's just that. As long as people are living in survival mode, the environment, they're not going to care.
Yeah, they can't.
I hate to tell environmentalists that, but that's true.
Spiffity Keen says, this is a dumb conversation. If someone takes a knife and uses it to harm someone, that doesn't mean we should ban knives. No, but knives also, you know, that's because there's a net benefit to knives. Like, for example, ask a surgeon, right? Ask anyone who's been through surgery. You couldn't do it without knives. That's not the same thing. Whereas, like, the net benefit is clear, okay? Like, I don't know. Sophia loves monkeys. I got food poisoning from eating one chicken McNugget when I was 19 years old and haven't ate at McDonald's since then in 10 years. Oh, I wouldn't either in that situation.
You were better off.
I won't eat at Chipotle.
You're so better off.
Than at Chipotle. I'm like, I'm never eating there.
I mean, the issue is agency and the issue is a rigged choice. It's kind of like if you're playing Fallout and the first thing they tell you to do is, you know, it's like, hey, would you like to pick up the baby? But they don't let you leave the room until you pick up the baby. It's like, okay, so why are you asking me if I want to pick up the baby if you're making it a forced choice? And I guess I feel like that with our society in general. It's like, hey, human monkeys, you have all of this stuff that you can do. You can eat at McDonald's. You can eat at Burger King. You can eat at the pizza place. You can eat at all of these places. However, it is not in your best interest to do so. What are people going to do? They're going to eat at the places, right? It's like, I'm busy during the day. I don't feel like cooking at night. So I'm going to eat at this trashy food place. And it's cheap, relatively so. So I'm going to buy this. Meaning you're expecting me to make a good choice.
That's my argument about, you know, against Megan's Law, right? Like, if you're going to let, like, dirty child raping perverts out on the street. The question isn't really, why are you putting them in a database? The question is, why are you letting them out in the first place? Right? Okay. Quinn Parsley, thanks for the $4.99. Been trying to stream those Robbie playlists in the evening. Hope it helps. Always love the show and the great work you all do. I've been doing that too. So just to remind everyone what we I'll be clear, because a certain CIA whistleblower kind of screwed over Robbie, we would greatly appreciate it if you would help put some lucre into Robbie's pockets by going to Rumble, searching up his gaming channel, which is called Putinbot Gaming. Find a long playlist or two or three or seven and just run it. And like, you can run it in the background or whatever, but just like run it when you're not around, and that'll give him the watch hours. And until Rumble figures out what's going on with just watch hours, that'll help him, and it'll help defray some of the negative effects there. Just filming, really. We abort Down syndrome kids now. Yeah, and we do amniocentesis, right? Like, or at least we did, to see if, you know, just like we stab a pregnant woman's belly to see if there's a Down syndrome fetus in there. And if there is, we abort it. That's what we do. Annie Anna, so where are the pro-lifers? Are they doing anything about it? Euthanasia? No.
Who's that question for? I mean, usually the pro-life stuff is for children. I mean, I don't even know if they organize around euthanasia.
No, they
that's
don't.
That's not a question for me. I don't know.
MC Calling, American-made Mountain Dew is banned or restricted in the UK, the EU, Japan, and over 100 other countries. Okay, thank you. I'm never drinking it again.
I didn't know that. Why is it banned? Because of the caffeine?
Because of additives like brominated vegetable oil, BVO, and calcium disodium.
Yeah, but that's what I mentioned, right? There's plenty of products that you just can't, that they don't allow. I mean, for example, those fat pigs that, was it Benson? Not Benson, Lutnick was talking about. He was like, they don't take out fat cows because those cows are full of shit and piss that they've effectively added to the cow in order to speed the growth of the cow. Same thing with the chickens. Like, they're giving chickens like Benadryl, and then they give them uppers. Sometimes the chickens peck the other chickens to death because they're all hopped up on the stuff that they put into the chickens, and there's not a lot of space in the areas. We torture animals constantly.
Yeah, we do.
And so when we try to send those tortured animals to other countries, they don't accept them. That's why the EU doesn't accept American products in many respects, and why the Trump administration was complaining about it, because they don't accept our products. Our products are not up to snuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Americans shouldn't accept American products.
No, they should, but we don't know any better.
No, I know.
Which goes back to my whole thing about being indoctrinated.
But also captured.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that I know here in Montana, you know, the inheritance tax, you know, because after you die, of course, the government has to get that last pound of flesh out of what you've worked for your entire life before you go to the great beyond.
Well, Robbie, they only taxed it two or three times before then, so you know.
Yeah, of course. Only every year leading up to it. And so what they are deliberately targeting, the generational family-owned ranches, to put them out of business, so that way you can't get free-range beef. That's what it is. It is designed to kill the independent rancher and farmer. That's what this is, and it sucks.
I had not heard that. I'm going to have to. That's actually a super interesting take. Okay, let's talk. So, did you see the story in the New York Times about Mahmoud
Ahmadinejad? Yes, I did.
All right, let's talk.
Yeah, so, let's talk about it.
So, Ahmadinejad, right? He was the president of Iran. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe between 2005 and 2013.
He was a hardliner.
Total hardliner. He was like, famously said he wanted to wipe Israel off the map, which, by the way, does not mean you want to kill all the people in Israel. It just means you want to eliminate it as a nation state, as a place that has those borders and that form of government, right? It was like, you'd look at a map and you would not see a place called Israel. Definitely he was a hardcore dude. Lives in Iran, obviously, former president, and he sort of has some roles inside the government, in and out. Anyway, it turns out that the Mossad tried to recruit him as a post-regime, like sort of puppet Vichy leader. This went on for years. They even lured him to Budapest to try to get him. He met with the president, with the head of the Mossad at the time, which is crazy. David Barnea was the head of Israel's Mossad. They tried to recruit him. I mean, there's so many angles to this. I mean, among them, first of all, why is he still walking free? Apparently, unsurprisingly, the Iranian government is keeping a close watch on him. But he doesn't seem to be under house arrest, or doesn't seem to be in prison, or being hanging from the ceiling, or anything. You know, what is this all about? And then, like, how willing do you think he was to entertain this idea? It seems that basically he heard their pitch and basically said no.
I think the story is nonsense. If I'm being bluntly honest with you, look, that would have slit his throat if this was true. Ahmadinejad is holding meetings, if I'm not mistaken, either today or yesterday, like in his role as a government capacity. I don't believe the story. In fact, I'm more inclined to believe that the story was set up to get him killed, because that's what it would have done. I remember when the Prigozhin thing happened in Russia. And if you remember during the leaks, they were saying that Prigozhin was working with the Ukrainians and everything else. And this was leaked by, what is it, Jack Teixeira, which, again, I have no idea why in his capacity as a National Guard that was in those files. But it was in those files. And you have to wonder, why were those things leaked? Okay, but I don't think that's this. Prigozhin was a paramilitary organization. Prigozhin was working with the Ukrainians. And Prigozhin did try his hand at taking down the Russian government. But what happened to Prigozhin? He is dead right now. In an airplane accident, quote unquote.
Yes, his plane had engine trouble. Very sad.
Yes, his plane apparently had engine trouble, supposedly. He would be dead right now. Like, think of all of the terrorist activities that were taking place during the first 12-day war, where Israel shot its load in a real sense of effectively activating terrorists to fly drones internally in Iran itself to take down the air defense and to take down some of the defenses that Iran would have had to push back the Israeli attack. What happened after that? Those people were executed. Ahmadinejad would have been executed. And I suspect this entire story is based in trying to get him killed. I could be wrong. Maybe they did contact him. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Or maybe they contacted him. He notified
the authorities.
The appropriate authorities. That sounds right. And then they said, okay, go along with it, you know, and then tell us what they said.
But see, I don't even believe what this story, if I'm not mistaken, the sources from this story, and not from Iran, they're from Israel.
Right.
Just like the Axios guy, what is it, Ravid or whatever his name is, he's effectively a mouthpiece for the Israeli state, or for that matter, for the Israeli firsters to just dump chum into Axios.
Right.
I don't know. I'm very dodgy about information that are coming out of Israel. According to Israel, Iran has the bomb in, you know, a couple of days. Going back years ago, they've been saying the same claim. According to Israel, Trump could just knock over the Iranian government and all of a sudden people will be, you know, worshiping Jesus or something.
Yeah. By the way, this is all tied into their supposed Kurdish thing somehow, that the Kurds were going to simultaneously rise up and join Ahmadinejad as like the Marshal Pétain of Iran.
Yeah. I don't buy this story. I mean, I would need a source separate from Israel.
Right. I mean, Ahmadinejad is not pro-Israel. I mean,
he's a hardliner. He was a hard ass during his entire time in office.
Consistently.
Yeah. So I am very dodgy about this story. I'm just telling
you. Right, I just thought it was but I think it's definitely interesting. All right, let's do a few more.
Super interesting. It's super interesting. I'm going to ask, when Laith come on, I'm going to ask him about it. It's super interesting. I didn't get the chance to ask Professor Morandi about it. But no, I agree with you. It's a super interesting story.
Well worth reading if you have the times. Dark Works 88. Watch hours update, Robbie. Robbie, what's the watch hour situation over on Putin?
Very good. So on Rumble, we broke 1,000 watch hours early this morning, late last night. Nice. So that's a huge help. Numbers are also up over on YouTube, and I've got a bunch of emails from people just saying, "Robbie, we're here for you. I don't agree with your politics, but we support you. We need to have a different take on issues." And those emails matter more to me, really, than the watch hours do. Now, get me wrong, the watch hours will help me pay my bills.
You need those watch hours.
Yeah. But the emails, I mean, truly. And I replied to this one person. It's like, well, I'm glad that you don't agree with everything that I say, because I don't agree with everything that I said from a year ago or from 6 months ago. If you don't change your mind, you never learn. At that point, you're just – the only thing I never changed my opinion on is scripture. Everything else is wide open. And that's how it should be. Ted, you changed my mind a lot.
I've changed my mind. Yeah, for sure.
It's a good thing.
All right. Fua Duzarak 808. Thanks for the $4.99. I wasn't going to watch Deprogram, but when JT explained why Imran Khan is in jail, I never stopped watching. JT knows stuff. JT is perfect for Deprogram. Well, where does that leave? Well, I don't know stuff. But thank you.
Yeah, the Imran Khan thing is fascinating. I love him. It's more so because he's cool as hell. He's like, the day that they came and get him to put him in a cage, he was sitting there like the Board of Health as the guards were outside begging on the doors. And he was looking like, oh, I need a smoke, a glass of liquor. Like he's a soccer star.
What do you want? It's that 70s Clint Eastwood disgusted sneer.
Yeah. It works as a human being, right? For what is taking place. It's a power issue. That's a whole separate story. I'm sorry. The Pakistan stuff is fascinating to me, though. Like the politics, it's just amazing.
It never gets boring. EJ Tierney, good news. Lindsey Graham is still dead. Yay! Every day Lindsey Graham is dead, more people don't die. So that's good.
I'm fascinated by this dynamic of people dying and people celebrating the death. That means something.
Yeah.
It means something.
It does.
We should write a book on that by itself. That means something.
So much shit for criticizing dead people. And it's always, and like, it does seem like I'm winning the argument now. Like, you're allowed to criticize dead people now.
Yes. I saw a huge amount of celebration when Lindsey Graham dropped dead. And I get the sense that there's going to be a lot of celebration when many of these members of Congress, I would say most, drop dead.
Oh, sure.
That's disturbing. And yet, oddly enough, I would argue necessary.
Oh. I've got to tell you, when I saw the news that Lindsey Graham checked out, my drug of choice is coffee. Just be straight up honest with you. I love coffee. But when I heard Lindsey Graham checked out, because I don't drink alcohol. If I did, I wouldn't have got some. But I went to the store and I got myself an ice cold Coca-Cola. And no I savored it.
For you.
Well, back home they call Mountain Dew Weasel Piss. Like that's really what it's called. That's the nickname for it, it's Weasel Piss. But no, I got myself an ice cold Coca-Cola, a real one, like an actual Coke. And it was delicious. When that was smooth.
This Coke's and, for you.
Celebrating.
This yep. Coke's for you.
Just filming, really. I would like to think I'm a good judge of people. I knew the very next live stream after John left that Ted was furious. Oh, maybe he won't admit this live. And that's cool. We still love Ted and John.
I can imagine as a human being, why wouldn't you be? I mean, even if you understand. Like, look, I understand why my wife left intellectually. How I feel about it is different, right?
You know, okay, I mean, I'll just be honest, right? I mean, for his own good, for reasons that we're not going to go into here, I think that he made a poor decision. So when people, this is kind of like going back to our daylight savings time article.
Yeah.
So when I see people behaving irrationally, it really, like, it bugs me out. So that was part of it. But for me, there's a way to do things, you know, and like, you know, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And like, once you've decided you're going to undertake a hard course of action, like, for example, I'm going to quit this show, that, you know, I worked on for a year with this other guy and this other guy, and we built it up and it's just starting to take off. And now I've got to dip. I've decided I need to dip. I get that. But I think, like, if I had been in his situation, I know I judge people by what I would do in the same situation, right? There's no world in which if they said, oh, you know, okay, I mean, I'll just do it here. Like, there's no fucking way if I got signed by some big Hollywood blah, 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 and that they said, oh, you got to ditch, you know, you got to ditch JT like today. Like, this will be your last show. Like, what do you mean today? No notice. Like, he has no co-host tomorrow. It's like, he's just done his own. I would have been like, I can't do that. It's like, I can't do that to a guy who I'm friends with, my business partner, who I've known for a long time. I just can't do it. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's embarrassing. It's mean. Also, I don't know if I'd want to work with someone who made that request of me, because it's like, wow, if you're going to, we're just starting our relationship and you're asking me to burn people like this. Like, I mean, what else are you going to ask me to do? And I would just be, so that's kind of like where I came from. It's like, if he'd been like, hey, listen, it's going to be like a month. You know, they're giving me a month for us to work together to try to find someone new to replace me. You know, I would have not liked it, but I wouldn't have been furious. But right. Literally coming on 1 hour before the show and saying, oh, today's going to be the last show. And I never hear from the dude ever again. Not even, you know, not even a WhatsApp, right? Like nothing. Like so, just... So it's not even about being furious. It's about being disgusted, honestly. I mean, it's just poor behavior. I mean,
it was like I told him when I talked to him over the weekends, like, I mean, you knew this was coming. I would have appreciated like a 2 weeks notice so I could have let people know, like, you know, earlier about what was going to be happening instead of just getting this bomb dropped. I mean, notice is nice. This is not a lightning bolt coming out of heaven or an undertow pulling you down to the floor of the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, this is coming. Yeah. Whatever. I mean, I'm serious, just be honest. That's the best thing you could do. And like I ever told him, I said, John, I said, listen, I'm not mad at you. And listen, maybe I'm being retarded here. But it'd be the first time I've been retarded. But when I talked to him, it's just like, I understand that you don't have a choice in this. You're doing exactly as you're told because you put your name on that piece of paper. You are in a golden cage of your own making. It is what it is. And I said, and when they discard you, because they will, let me know and I'll help you get your Rumble channel set back up again. Because that's the kind of retard that I am.
Well, I guess that's the rub, right? If they're telling you to do it, it's kind of like marrying somebody who cheated on their husband. It's like they came into the marriage through cheating. Why do you believe that they wouldn't necessarily leave it through cheating also? And I guess that's the point, Ted. If they're willing to allow you to cut off and burn relationships, then they could do the same thing to you in a heartbeat. Obviously, this is the way they operate. No, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even if you just think about, like, let's say you have a normie job, right? Like at an office. I mean, and you find it, and someone recruits you, a headhunter recruits you and says, hey, Jamal, like, you know, we'd like you to start Monday. You say, what do you say? You say, no, I have to give 2 weeks notice to my current employer. Right.
Right.
You know, obviously that's basic. That's in the United States. That's standard. That's what workers do. So, you know, I mean, and it's like when you're in a business relationship and friendship doing a podcast together, you've never had any disagreement about anything. You know, it's like there's just like, unless you hate the person, you know, I have dipped on employers who I hated, but, you know, no notice, I'm out. I didn't even like ask for my last paycheck. I was just wanted to fuck it.
So you're out.
Literally went to lunch one day and never came back. It's like, but, you know, that wasn't the situation with John. So, you know, yeah. So I was like, it's all about the way it was done. So, yeah, I mean. You know,
felt some kind of not person
about it anymore. It was bad for a few months. I was really just like, couldn't believe it. You know, I mean, I was like, it's look, I do think the show is better now, to be honest. I think we're, I mean, I don't, I wouldn't, if John called and said, please let me come back. I'm so sorry. I'd be like, fuck you. I've got a better co-host than you. Bye.
I love debating with that black guy right there. Straight up. Man, I love debating with you because no, with John, the only time I could really get aroused out of him would be if we start talking about the war, Northern aggression, and they go straight into the U.S. mythology. The North is right, the South is wrong. It's all about slavery. Okay, fine, whatever. That's the default position, but that's not the conversation I'm trying to have with you. With you, though, I can talk to you about anything. And I freaking love it. I can talk to you about religion, talk to you about science, about how going to the moon is gay and a waste of money and resources. And we just had this back and forth, and we got to do our Civilization 6 stream again. When do you want to do that?
Yeah, it's still safe. It's still safe.
Yeah, but when do you want to do it? You want to do it today or tomorrow?
It can't be today because I have interviews all day up until like 2 o'clock. Yeah, we have
a Q&A show today at 12 noon too.
Yeah, Civ is more important than that. You know, Ted, if you start playing Civ with us, we're going to have to do the Q&A. People just watch you play Civilization. Actually,
we can do the Q&A while playing Civ.
I have to look up and see what it is. We have more comments. We have to deal with Iran. We have to deal with this dead British politician. Also, Just Filming Really said, although John hasn't called Ted, I think Ted should call John. If we believe John is on a leash, this is the time he needs his friends. Yeah, I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. You know, it's like, that ball is absolute. I could well be wrong, but I feel like that ball is in his court. And also, you know, at this point, I'm not sure I want to hear from him, to tell you the truth. So let's see. Kevin James, hiya, Jamal, Ted and Robbie, listening from New Zealand. Thank you. John D. Rockefeller, I understand that John needed to secure a financial stream for himself after everything he went through. I still think he's a dickhead for doing it. And I think in the long run, it will be net negative. To be honest, you know, I'm not going to get into the specifics. I think this is a poor financial decision for him. I think financially, he would have been better off not doing it. But, you know, I suspect right now, if he were watching, he would agree with me. Even though he might not want to admit it. Okay, so Iran. Okay, so Iran is basically the war continues as you predicted and as I, against my prediction. So this is definitely Jamal 1, Ted 0. The latest is that the fight over the Gulf of the Gulf of the Strait of Hormuz is now spreading into the entrance to basically the Gulf of Aden, which is basically the entrance to the Red Sea that ultimately then goes up to the Suez Canal, famous as the spot where Somali pirates predate sometimes. So the Captain Phillips kind of area. So now Iran is saying, well, you know, they're implying directly, hey, there's not going to be any Middle Eastern oil. It's not just the 20% of global supply that comes through Hormuz. It's the whole nine yards. Right. And the Americans have to decide what they want. I was going to say what they want to do about it. There's nothing they can do about it. You know, whether they just want to keep fighting or they want to fucking get real. IRGC official statement said the region's oil and gas exports will either be available to everyone or to no one.
Right.
So.
Yes. And by the way, the war is spreading. It's not just between the U.S. and Iran. Yeah. You have several pieces that are effectively moving. If you notice, the Iraqi president was sitting in the White House, fully cucked by Donald Trump, basically saying, because whether people realize this or not, the oil money since 2003 that belonged to Iraq goes through the U.S. and goes to the U.S. banks. Same thing with Venezuela at this point. Basically, we have stolen their country, or the real least were occupying their country with a puppet government in office. You have the attacks by Saudi Arabia on Yemen. That is not random. That is also part of it. The belief being that Yemen will get involved if indeed a wider war between the United States and Iran kicks off, which it has, in which case the Yemenis or Ansarullah may be firing, you know, closing down their own strait themselves, meaning shutting down the Red Sea. You get Saudi Arabia attacking them. They attack Saudi Arabia back, effectively attacking the Saudi Arabia's airport, and have gone so far as to say, heads up, no flights should leave Saudi Arabia because none of these flights are now safe, which is pretty amazing. It's basically an air blockade, not to mention a sea blockade, meaning there's multiple forces that are being activated all at once as this war effectively kicks off. I don't know if you saw the videos from yesterday. I did a long video last night when the bombs were hitting because there were multiple videos out about Iranian strikes hitting U.S. bases, be it in Jordan, be it in Kuwait, be it in Bahrain.
Direct the Jordan thing pinpoint. Is no, because the Jordanians tend, they like to sort of feel like they're above all this kind of thing.
Whatever. They got hit. Mm-hmm. And Iran sent out a message saying, hey, this is not about you as a country. This is about the base that is on your soil. Meaning these countries can't cry, oh my God, I can't believe Iran is hitting us, when you have military bases on your soil that is being used to attack Iran. Like, cry more for me. It's amazing that they're putting out statements like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this. And just to be very clear, there's a ship sitting at the bottom of the sea right now because that ship tried to transit the strait without getting the permission from Iran. So this fight that was destroyed the state of Iran has now moved into this kind of arm wrestling over the Strait of Hormuz, and for that matter, all of the oil going out through the Middle East, because this is escalating. Donald Trump is effectively saying, we're going after infrastructure next. Mirani pointed out, if they go after infrastructure, we will do the same, meaning the Saudi oil fields, the Kuwait oil fields, the Qatari, et cetera, those things will once now become fair game if Donald Trump indeed escalates to going after Iranian infrastructure. Buckle up. By the way, nothing has fundamentally changed. Meaning the reason that Trump signed the MOU, nothing has fundamentally changed from Trump signing the MOU. The only difference is we are far less short of oil than we were prior. And this belief that America is energy independent is nonsense. I heard Gilbert Doctorow say that nonsense. The U.S. is energy sufficient. We are not. Energy is global. It may take a while for it to hit us, but it will hit us. True. When we saw $4.50 gas, that is evidence of that, it does migrate to the U.S.
It's already started to go up again, of course.
Yeah.
We should hit upon the assassination of this parliamentarian, this MP, former MP Anne Widcombe. She was killed in her own home in England, 78 years old. Started out, she became famous on reality television, of all things. She was a big Brexit party person. And they have a person who's currently being detained, 28 years old. They said it was a targeted assassination. You know, it's hard to say at this point whether you're talking about left-wing political murder or something personal or who knows what, something else. But it just seems like it's worth taking note. And before you comment, JT, I just want to thank Fuad Zarak for the $2. The show is so much more diversified. Topics with JT. That's true. The topics are definitely more, there's more broad topics. Anyway, what do you think? Obviously, if politicians aren't safe in their own house, they're going to be scared.
I guess the question is why he killed her.
Yeah.
I think it boils down to that. Like, meaning, because as bad as what I'm about to say sounds, whether he killed her for Brexit, whether he killed her because she was a far-right politician, whether he killed her just because there was some other kind of interest, it matters, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, each one is different. Each one matters. If he says, well, I killed her for Brexit because Britain is far much worse off now. All of their takes were lies. And I'm in a worst case scenario. The public is in a worst case scenario, objectively. So that's why I killed her. Okay, that's one thing. It's another thing if it's just, I killed her for hashtag reasons. I'm curious as to why he killed her.
I mean, seriously, it could be romantic. We don't even know, right? I mean, it could be anything.
That would be interesting, too.
I mean,
that would be interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, no, we need to know why. The why is the important part. I mean, the fact that he killed her is important, but the why is the interesting part.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was worth a brief note here at the end. And we can.
Yeah, what if it's for Brexit?
We'll follow this. Yeah, who knows? Like, this guy's like, I really wanted to move to Holland, and I just
can't. Now I can't.
Bitch, I can't do it.
Britain is By the way, Britain is objectively worse off because of Brexit, like severely so. And there's speeches with Boris Johnson effectively saying, yeah, it's going to suck for a while, but we're going to be Fortress Britain. None of those plans came to fruition.
Nope.
None of them.
Totally insane. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. TMI show is coming up right now. Please stay tuned in 2 hours. Tune in here on YouTube and Rumble to the Q&A episode of Deep Program. JT, always a pleasure. See you in 2 hours.
Bye. I see you at noon. Have a good one, guys.